to Nigeria Daily. I am Lilian Ogazi. 21% of people within the ages of 18 to 44 living with HIV in Nigeria experience stigma and discrimination, according to a survey released by Network of People Living with HIV and AIDS in Nigeria, NEPWAN, with technical support from its implementing partners. The attitude of Nigerians towards people living with HIV and AIDS has somewhat not changed. How do those affected feel about this? Let's listen to some people living with HIV as they share their story.
My name is Mrs. Gloria Blessing Ogodo. I've been living with HIV for the past 20 years now. I was 11, and that was at far back at 1999. The little I know was just that I was sick, rushed to the hospital, was admitted in one of the general hospitals here in Abuja, and I was told I needed blood. And my father then was working in Jilos Vega, but in Bonny Highland. It was just my mom. And at the end of the day, she has no choice than to go and get the blood in the blood bank. And according to them, the blood was screened and was transferred to me. And after some days, I was discharged from the hospital. I came back home, but it was not funny. I would be sitting, my eyes is wide open, but I'm not seeing anything. It's just as my eyes is open, but I'm blind. I can't see anything. I'm getting weaker by the day. You know, I'm not strong. Rashes all over me. I was just looking pain. My hair was falling out. A lot of things like that. So I was rushed back at same hospital. After much tests, they found out that there's nothing they found on that test, until the man said we should go for an HIV test, which I did the test at the Gwagolada Specialist Hospital. It was at this hospital they now found out that the blood was infected before they gave it to me. So they tested everybody in the house. Everybody came out negative, but I'm just the only one, before they now found out that it was through the blood transmission. It was not the funny one. I was not told then. After a long period of time, when I discovered that I was getting better, that was when my status was disclosed to me. As of that time, at that 1999, I think I was one of the first people on roll that ARV drugs was tested on, because then there was no drugs in Nigeria. Because of my case, people were running around to see how they would provide solution, because I overheard my dad telling them that they should use the injection and inject me and inject to the doctor who did that to me.
So after that, how did this change your life?
As of then, it was not funny, because the stigma everywhere, even in the church where I worship, to the extent that the reverend was like, there is a place in Use General Hospital where they abandon people like us to go and die. Now we should go there and die. At the end of the day, he announced the status to the church. The church started running away from me. They don't want me to come close to their seat and all of that. And at a point, I make an attempt of committing suicide. At a point, again, I ran again from the house, because I felt that since nobody wanted me, let me just go and die. I went to a place they call Opi Unsoka in Enugu State. I stayed there for some time. And there, I stopped taking the medication, because I don't have the money. I'm not even working. Of having the money to buy the drugs. So one doctor, Anthony Agu, he's a lecturer in UNN. So he was passing, and he saw me one cloth every time in that position. He asked me, "Didn't you have a parent? By now you should be in school." I burst out in tears. That was how I opened up my story to him. Not until 2006, Dr. Anthony Agu came back from work and said, "Gloria, come, I have something to tell you." He heard it on radio that the drugs is free, the ARV drugs is free. I said, "What?" So he gave me money to go back to Abuja. Before they could convince me and come back to my own family house, it was a serious problem. But to God be the glory, today I'm out, and I promised myself I would be one in thousands out there to speak for people's rights and to fight for stigma. And by the grace of God, today I'm happy living with it.
Okay, so finally, now what's your word out there to people who are living with HIV and they don't know how to speak up? They are scared, they are confused, they don't know what to do.
My advice is that once your right is being violated or you have been stigmatized, both in the where you worship, you speak out. People are there to fight for you. We have lawyers a lot. We have Legal Aid Council. We have the FIDA. We have the human rights. So let them speak out. Let them not keep quiet. And moreover, HIV is never a death sentence. Take your medication and you will be fine. Like now, I have a set of twins. And my twins are okay. And I breastfeed my twins. And when I tested them, they came out okay.
My name is Sophia Abdullahi. I am HIV positive living person. I don't know how it comes about. I was sick, having some rashes all over my body. I went to the hospital. They run tests for me and they say I am positive.
So how has life been for you since then?
Honestly, it was fine. I thank God. My relations were able to calm me and gave me a serious support. They remind me to take my drugs. They give me food. So I don't have any challenge. Let me say, I don't have any challenge at all. I am okay.
So what's your word out there to someone who is HIV positive and does not know what to do or feels confused and left out?
What I want them to do is to hold themselves, take heart, whatever the prescription given to them, they should keep to the time they take their drugs. They should not miss the time they take their drugs.
Those were some people who are living a normal, perfect life with HIV. Why then do people discriminate against them? Would you work in the same office with someone who is HIV positive? We put these questions to a couple of Nigerians and let's hear what they have to say.
Well, of course, I would work with someone that has HIV or has AIDS. This question, if you had asked me a year ago or 5 years ago, I would definitely have told you no. Because 5 years ago or a year ago, I didn't understand what HIV and AIDS was about. I didn't really know how you can contact it and how you can prevent yourself from contacting it. In my head, all you had to do was just someone had cut themselves. Probably 5 hours later, you cut yourself and that's it. You had AIDS. And I think even like a typical example is I can remember someone using a nail cutter to cut my nails and then blood came out and I freaked out. I think I cried the whole night thinking that next morning I would wake up and I would have AIDS. I mean, like, yes, that's ignorance, right? So I think when you talk about stigmatization of people with HIV, it usually comes with ignorance. People not really truly understanding what it is. And again, I don't blame people for this ignorance, because when HIV AIDS came a long time ago, people didn't have as much information as they have now. So most people are kind of lazy. They don't really want to do more of the research. They just want to believe what they had believed a long time ago. You take something as simple as COVID, and I call it simple because it's right there. You can see it every day. You get to be informed about it. But even when it first came out, because the scientists didn't really know what was happening, all the kept telling people was protect yourself, and everybody did protect themselves. So people that had had COVID and had recovered from COVID were still being stigmatized only because people felt like they were going to get it. And yes, of course, that's what's going to happen. But I mean, the more you inform yourself about a certain illness, or anything even in general, the better you are at being able to tolerate it and to live with it. Take, for example, something like malaria that every Nigerian has had. Now, when you go to the UK, because they've never seen something like that, they freak out. They need to isolate you. Everybody is scared because they don't know if they can contact it.
Yes, I work with someone living with HIV because I want the person to feel accepted and loved and not discriminated upon. And the reason why people still discriminate against people living with HIV and AIDS is lack of education. Most people are not educated well enough on the disease. Most of them feel like the reason why you have HIV and AIDS is because you've been messing around with different people. You have different sexual partners, which is not so. HIV and AIDS can also be transmitted through mother to child. That is what they don't know. So I feel it's the responsibility of organizations to pass this message across to people. And people that also have knowledge of this do not share it. Most of them feel like people know enough, but nobody knows enough. A lot needs to be done to eradicate this mentality that we have. And there's a stereotype that is going around. So that's my take on it.
Those were some Nigerians sharing their thoughts. You are listening to Nigeria Daily, coming to you from Daily Trust Online. We'll be going on a short break. Do stay.
It's enlightening.
It's incisive.
It's analytical.
It's entertaining.
It's educating.
It's The Bearing, a podcast from Daily Trust addressing issues that have direct bearing in your life. Join us every week on www.dailytrust.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/dailytrust. On Twitter at twitter.com/dailytrust. And on YouTube at youtube.com/dailytrust. To listen in, join us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio. Welcome back. This is Nigeria Daily, and we're talking about the attitude of Nigerians towards people living with HIV and AIDS. According to the Hindawi AIDS Research and Treatment, Nigeria has about 3.8 million people living with HIV, the second largest globally, and these people face discrimination one way or another. The National Coordinator of NEPWAN, Ibrahim Abdulkadi, speaks on the level of discrimination against people living with HIV and AIDS and what is being done about it.
So all of these are tied to lack of policy enforcement, because as you know, HIV itself, nobody is expected to be forced to have HIV tests. And one of the critical things we are doing, and I also represent NEPWAN at the NACA board, and one of the key things, even in the recent policy review that NACA had, we were able to even put it very clear that no employee of any organizations or any government institution should be forced to go and conduct HIV test. So that should be eliminated, because these are some of the things that fuel some of these stigma and discrimination against employers who are living with HIV. So we need to enforce some of these policies and ensure that we eradicate and emulate all of this, and that will empower people to really come out publicly to access adequate services. Because once somebody is stigmatized generally, then he will tend to stay and avoid going to facilities to access these services. And the implication of that, once you are identified as a person who is living with HIV, the next thing is for you to be placed on treatment. And this is a lifetime medication that once you start, you are not expected to stop. So because of the stigma, somebody may decide not to go because he feels discriminated, and you know what this means to, not only about HIV, once you are stigmatized in the community, for one thing or the other, you feel depressed and unsupported to even continue with the normal life. So what we are doing is to ensure that every person living with HIV is living healthy and can always go to anywhere confidently and have access to services. It could be either prevention or even care and treatment.
That was Ibrahim Abdulkadir, the National Coordinator, Network of People Living with HIV and AIDS in Nigeria, NEPWAN. What is being done to protect the rights of people living with HIV and AIDS in Nigeria? All attempts to reach the communication officer of the National Agency for the Control of AIDS, NACA, Mrs. Toyin Aderibe, proved abortive, as they were unresponsive to our calls and messages. People with HIV and AIDS are nothing to be afraid of. They are people just like every single one of us, and each has a story to tell. These people should be helped, embraced, and not dismissed. We need to open our hearts and minds to them, and we may just learn we're pretty much all the same. And that brings us to the end of this episode of Nigeria Daily. Thank you so much for listening. To everyone whose voices we heard on the show, we say a big thank you. Nigeria Daily is a Daily Trust production, and remember that it is open for sponsorship and advert placement. You can download these and other episodes on dailytrust.com and on buzzsprout.com. You can also listen on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn Radio. If you have questions or comment, or intend to sponsor an episode of the Nigeria Daily, let us know on our social media handles on Twitter and Instagram at @daily_trust and on Facebook at Daily Trust. Better still, you can also send us a message via WhatsApp on 0913-893-3390. I am Lilian Ogazi. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.